The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday and happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish toasters. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm wearing Fendi Skims today, so I'm feeling great and just so fabulous, which is a feeling I haven't had in a very long time.
But you are a fabulous girl. Don't forget that.
No, somewhere deep inside of me, I know.
There's a fabulous girl begging to get out.
Yeah, but it's just not her time.
Well, I have to imagine you were inspired by your outfit. By our guest today, who joined us in studio, you guys are going to quake. First of all, I was quaking. It's Portia Williams, Real Housewives of Atlanta. She's here talking about her new book, which is out today, called The Pursuit of Portia. She wore the Fendi Skims complete bodysuit, which like very few people can pull off. She looked radiant. Like, it was a sight to see.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
She looked amazing. The interview is so good. You guys are seriously vibing. I'm so happy for you that you finally got to meet your hero.
Can I tell you how nervous I was? Like, maybe not nervous, intimidated.
Yeah.
She's like a force, and she's really a lovely, lovely person, and I just loved talking to her. And if you're watching on YouTube, there's a separate video, me and Portia just like chatting, like a couple gals. And if you're listening as a podcast, just keep listening. We've got a great show for you guys today. Fast Five, Dear Toasters, and then we're going to cap off with the Portia interview. And I'm just excited for everyone to hear her book. Is really deep. Like, it's not what you would think a typical housewife memoir. She's been through a lot.
Yeah.
And I just love her. And she was so like gorgeous and stunning and kind in person. And it was great.
I'm excited for you guys to see it.
We haven't interviewed like people in studio in a while. I mean, we had Josh and Shannon from
Carly and Erin.
But they're like girly girls. Like, that's like,
but like a hard-hitting interview. No, it has been a while, especially because of COVID, and now we're very choosy about who comes in.
Right.
So definitely, Portia is a great one.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. But other than that, we've got a great show for you guys. How was your day? How was your night? I mean, I was thinking about you the whole night. I can't lie.
I was obviously thinking about you girlies, too, at Luke Combs. And you know what? I actually was fine. I really thought I was going to be crying. I planned and scheduled a good cry, just like a woe is me cry.
Yeah.
But no, I watched and I was enjoying and I watched every single slide. I was just like loving Luke and this moment for him and MSG. Like, what I would have given to be a part of that crowd and just to like see a crowd of that magnitude after 2 years, like, it would have warmed my heart so. But I was totally emotionally stable.
Okay, good.
And hopefully we'll go 2 for 2 tonight. Good, you never good. Know.
No, I think that if there was going to be a night where you would have had a breakdown, it would have been last night, because last night was like girly girl night. You'd love a GNO.
Yeah.
So I think you might be past like the
point.
I
think I might have like gotten through it. And I think because I hyped it up so much, it wound up being not as tragic as I thought it was going to be.
And if anything, you should just be like so grateful right now that you don't have legs that feel like jello, a lower back that doesn't exist.
But I do anyway. Yeah.
And a broken neck.
Yeah. No, all of those things just come with the territory.
Damn. I mean, I feel like I actually like ran a marathon. I'm exhausted. Like, not even hungover. I only had like 3 drinks, but physically unwell.
Yeah.
Because that's the type of music, like when Luke comes out, even his like slow songs, you got to bang your head.
That's the sign of a good concert.
Can I tell you that I've been to a lot of concerts in my life, and I've seen Luke perform a bunch of times, small venues, big venues, because, you know, we've been fans since the beginning.
Don't get her started.
But I never saw anything like what I saw last night. And I'm talking about that particular venue. I've seen the Jonas Brothers, Ariana Grande, John Mayer, all great concerts, completely unparalleled.
Wow.
So he did the stage in the center and he moves around.
He's a giver.
Because he's a giver. And
he
also
wants everyone to have the full experience of Luke.
It allows more people to
have better seats.
Have better seats. And also sell more tickets.
That's like Kevin Hart.
Right, exactly. So that just makes it all the more impressive. He's, first of all, for a country artist to sell out Madison Square Garden, like in New York, it's just not heard of. And for someone to do it twice, it's so unbelievable.
And so early in their career.
Yeah, so I think like I was really shepping a lot of nachas like early on in the night because wasn't an empty seat in the house.
Was he like giving speeches throughout the night?
Of course.
Like, usually I don't even like when artists do that, let alone if someone were to put that on their story. But I was actually curious, like what is Luke saying to the crowd?
Yeah, of course. Like there was a part where we literally all cried. He was just talking about his parents, about how like, oh my God, I'm going to cry when I say it. Like they missed out on so much, like working so hard so he could have like the best possible life. And he just never in his wildest dreams imagined that he would be here. Like, he used to live above a bar and he worked at the bar and he got to play at the bar. And for him, that was like
the dream.
And if it never got better than that, like, he would have been so happy doing that. And he just, like, can't believe how all of this happened so fast. And he was just very humble and very sweet. And he just kept saying, like, I can't believe I'm here. And in a million songs, whatever town he was talking about, he changed it to New York City. And, like, people just went fucking wild. Oh, and then he also said, you're going to cry at this. Like, sad. So he said, like, you know, he grew up in North Carolina and he really didn't get to see a lot of places, like, travel-wise until he was an adult and he started, like, touring. But one of the places that he had been to was New York City. He got to sing at Carnegie Hall because his high school, like, band teacher, who came to the show with her husband, had brought him to New York 3 times. And it was, like, such an impactful trip for him. And he got to sing at Carnegie Hall and it was just, like, amazing. And he brought the teacher to the concert, which was so unbelievably sweet. Like, we were all just, like, crying.
Oh, my God. That is so sweet.
It was so sweet. So he did. And I actually also hate when people talk between songs.
But I needed to know how Luke was feeling.
There are a few people who I'll allow it. Taylor can say whatever she wants. Adele was actually extremely funny when she did it at her show. She gave like a lot of speeches. It was like stand up X like ballads. And Luke, like, I wanted to know, like, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
And he was just so humble and so grateful. And it was so like we were all. And he also said something at the end that I thought was so interesting. He's like, you're not here to see me. I'm here to play for you. It was just like this whole thing about how like the fans have changed his life. He's upset. Like, I'm just fucking obsessed with him, you know? Yeah. And he looked amazing. You know, classic Luke, Columbia shirt, cowboy boots, red solo cup. And he was, like, encouraging the crowd. He's like, I know it's a Monday. But, and by the way, to sell out Madison Square Garden on a Monday and a Tuesday, it's just, it's unbelievable. And what I thought was so interesting was, like, first of all, I never heard a stadium so loud. Every person knew every single song. And usually there's, like, a couple songs that everyone knows and they, like, chant. I would say it was just as loud for his least popular song as it was for his most popular song.
Wow.
Yeah. And oh my God, when Beer Never Broke My Heart, I thought the place was going to...
Did he play it twice? Or your guys' videos were just like...
No, he played it once.
People were adding them at different times.
It was the last song.
Okay.
And it was like, my back is killing me.
Worth it.
100% worth it. So good. And I just felt very like proud and happy for him, you know? In addition to enjoying, it was basically like sitting at my computer listening to iTunes, like... His voice is amazing.
Yeah.
And I got to see Ashley McBride. I have a lot of thoughts because, you know, I'm her number one fan. But I literally didn't know any songs that she sang. And, like, that made me really upset and sad.
Did that make you realize you're not her number one fan?
100%.
Okay. Because that would be really sad.
But it's worth mentioning, Jackie. I'd never heard a voice like that in my life. Like, it made me, and the songs are so good. It made me, like, want to learn them, you know? And I was like, it's too late. I don't know them. So it wasn't like
you could learn them today.
Yeah, it wasn't like the life-changing experience I was looking for, but I was so happy to see my girl, and she did sing Martha Divine, which is personally like a song that will make me snap my neck. It's so good. So all in all, it was just like an amazing evening filled with so much talent, and you love to see country music in New York. Like, we never get it. The one country station, 94.7, has been retired, and now it's like an 80s station. So we get nothing. We get scraps, and we finally got a big entree last night, and we have to thank Luke Combs for that.
So stunning.
It was really crazy to see like so many country like hats and.
Well, I was gonna say like when you were looking around MSG at like these New Yorkers country fans and you're like, who are you guys? Like we should get together sometime.
No, I know it wasn't. It was like a different demographic than I've seen at any concert like.
Do they seem like city dwellers or they came from the boroughs?
I think it was a borough crowd, like people coming in to support Luke because. you know, people in New York don't dress like that. Like, they don't have cowboy hats, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't have hand-painted jackets with American flags on them. Like, it was so cute. And that wrote Luke Combs on the back in paint. It was so cute.
Got it. So the boroughs were coming out.
I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but I think it was a borough crowd.
Okay. I wonder if he's playing, like, New Jersey, Connecticut. Yeah.
I mean, they chanted USA. Like, they don't do that in the city. That's a borough thing.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It was just an incredible evening. And if you have the chance to see Luke Combs on tour, like, I highly, 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 highly suggested. And there's another show at MSG tonight, which I will be going to. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, I feel like the way people feel after they work out, like, unwell.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for the recap. I'm so glad you guys had a great time. And I'm so
glad really missed you.
That I lived to tell the tale.
Yeah, no, we really missed you.
I miss you guys.
And everyone was asking. It was Toaster Central.
Oh, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. And they were
like, I
feel
like I could see toasters in your videos, like, 100%. In the crowd.
And everyone was like, praying for Jackie. There was like a communal, actually Luke led a prayer at the beginning of the show. You know, one of my really big fans, Jackie, can't be here tonight, and he held a moment of silence, which I thought was really, really kind of him. And
that's so really beautiful. Generous.
So generous. Thank you, Luke. He loves you, you know?
That's what helped me make it through.
Yeah. The prayers worked.
His prayers were answered. Okay, well, you're doing it all again tonight. Very exciting.
I can't believe it,
so
honestly.
So we will get another recap tomorrow. I spent the evening editing the new episode of The Redheads, which is so good and so funny.
When is it out?
It drops on Thursday, and I like was so tempted to drop it sooner because I was just like, this is so hysterical.
And it's here, and it's ready.
But I'll wait till Thursday because like some people haven't finished reading the book yet, and I don't want to stress them out.
Really, yeah.
I don't. So.
And can you remind me, is it ever too late to become a redhead?
Never, ever, never is it too late, because you can pick up at any time. The episodes are just waiting for you. They're evergreen. We don't really talk about super timely stuff. It's just we're in the books. So pick
up any book. You guys are a bunch of bookworms.
We've done 26 or 27 episodes so far. So that's 26, 27 books that you
can choose from. That's crazy. Like, you read so much and none of them are for the redheads. So you've already read 27 books this year?
Yeah. And it's
like, how do I know how many books I've read this year?
Oh, did you do a Goodreads challenge? Give me your phone.
No, I can tell you for sure I didn't do a Goodreads challenge.
Well, you should have challenged yourself.
This doesn't sound right.
No, that's not. Whatever you're looking at is not
right. It says I've done 15 of 50 books, but I never said 50, and I definitely read more than 15.
No, I think that's right. Click it. Go to all the books that you read, and then scroll down to the bottom.
Yeah, I am. Nothing seems to be missing, but.
That's right. That's how you find it. 50 is the like default goal, if, you know.
Default? That's insane.
No, like, not that you're expected to, but if you were setting goals, that was my goal for the year, and I'm at 56.
I just
started 57 last night.
I feel like I just started
my 57th book last night.
That's
the year.
Fucking crazy,
but
Jackie.
Last year I read 65 books total, so I'm not gonna tie that, but hopefully I'll hit 60.
I just feel like this isn't right.
Let me see.
No, because like I'm looking at, okay, Verity. It didn't come up in my thing, but I know I read Verity this year.
You probably didn't.
These years are just like melting together. But did I read in COVID? When did I start reading? I started reading that trip
a year ago
to Utah. Right. So shouldn't all my books?
Can you just give me your phone, please? You're killing me.
No, I can't.
Why?
I hate handing over my
just
phone.
Just please. Just give it to me.
Right, like The Mother-in-Law. Hold on.
You read The Mother-in-Law this year because I read it this year.
Okay, and it wasn't in my...
In your Goodreads.
Yeah, there's something off with this, I'm telling you.
Okay, so can I can help you, please.
Okay, fine.
Okay. I'm just going to your red books.
Mm-hmm. Then there's some I didn't finish. And when I started my Goodreads, this is where I fucked myself, ready? When I started my Goodreads, I like wanted to have a lot of books in my thing. So like I backlogged like a million books I've read over the last like 25 years.
Oh, that's fine.
Like I added all of Andy's books.
That's okay because it helps them curate what you like. So that is totally fine. Okay. You also were reading on my account for a while. Remember that?
Oh, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I have to start my Goodreads like fresh in 2022 because I was so messy at the beginning of the year.
And you need to connect your Goodreads to your Kindle.
I did.
Really? Because otherwise, if you did, then they would have the...
No, but see, I probably read The Mother-in-Law on your book, your Kindle.
Got it.
So these are... Okay, so I've read 15 books. You know what? I read a lot of books. I read more than 15.
Okay, you'll do a count
later. I will. I'll have to do it manually.
And you'll let us know.
Okay, that's exciting.
It looks like the first book that you read on your own was...
Is It Ends With Us.
Yeah.
On my Kindle.
Yeah. So
my
you
God,
have to find
so messy.
Everything before that.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
Yeah, confusing. I mean, hook up your Goodreads to your Kindle and connect it with your Amazon account and you will be so well taken
care
of.
At peace.
Yeah, no, at peace.
No, I'm like messy over here with my million Kindle accounts, Goodreads.
You're mussy. And I'm speaking moosey. Of mussy.
Is he in the news today?
He's in the news today. His trial started yesterday.
Oh, how fabulous.
As did Ghislaine's. We'll talk about both, even though like we're not, I mean, it's only day one.
Feels like I might need this today, my gavel.
Yeah, no, it's a day for justice, but also like these things take time.
Yes, of course.
And
we must not rush the justice system. It's not called the rushedest system.
I know, but it's also like, will we get justice? That's the big question.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like we will.
No, especially not in the Ghislaine.
No, it's already like, you know, jurors are getting surprised with vacations, can't be on the jury.
And that's crazy. And it's like a closed court,
yeah.
You know?
No, which, we are only getting sketches, which is crazy. It should be live streamed.
And they're making her look fabulous. It's like a gorgeous sketch, like the Kardashians are always posting like their sketches. Whoever
it's
is
like Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. Whoever is sketching Ghislaine is extremely flattering, and I need to hire them immediately.
Okay. Well, I guess without further ado, let's jump into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Today's episode is brought to you by Olive & June. The Olive & June nail polish lasts over 7 days and it does not chip, and their Manny system is the answer to salon-perfect nails at home. With the Manny system, each out-of-home manicure comes out to just $2, which is fabulous and out of control when you think about how much you pay for a manicure. But the Manny system from Olive & June is just something you really, really should have in your house. It has all the things you need for your nails that you never have. It has cuticle oil, it has nail files, obviously nail polish. It just has everything that you need. You're always like running around your house like, do I have a nail file? If you have the Manny system, you'll always have it. And you'll have salon perfect nails at home for a much, much cheaper price. Their nail polishes are fabulous, and they last over 7 days. Which doesn't even happen at the nail salon, so it's crooked what's going on at the salons. The system comes with all the tools that you need in one box. It's only 5 steps. It comes with a poppy that's a patented brush handle that you put on the Olive & June nail polish bottles that makes it really easy to paint both of your hands, keeps your arms steady. It's also just really affordable. With the 6 polishes, it breaks down to $2 a manicure when you used to spend just $35 for one gel manicure. The polish is amazing. This is a great stocking stuffer for your mom, your grandma, anyone who likes to do their nails. So check it out. Get 20% off your first Manny system when you use promo code TOAST at oliveandjune.com. Again, 20% off your first Manny system when you use promo code TOAST at oliveandjune.com. Your new nail life is here.
Thank you, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Okay, our first story, Ghislaine Maxwell trial started yesterday. The prosecutor said she is, quote, a predator who served up young girls to be abused.
That is true. That is what she did, and that is who she is.
Ghislaine Maxwell listened as a crowded courtroom heard lurid allegations that she and Jeffrey Epstein, quote, lured victims with promise of a brighter future and then destroyed them. She is labeled as a dangerous predator who served up the girls for sexual abuse, a court was told yesterday. The British socialite was billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein's second in command and lured vulnerable teenagers for him to assault, a jury in New York heard. The courtroom was packed.
Oh, it's in New York?
It's in New York, and it's like you can get a seat in there, but the people who were in there started getting in line at 5 a.m. in the freezing cold to get a seat. So
that's going to be a no for me, but we got to get some seats.
Yeah, so that would be really crazy. So yesterday was day one of the trial. Prosecution opened. Defense, Ghislaine's defense is saying that she's being blamed for, like, Jeffrey's crimes. They compared her to Eve of Adam and Eve.
What the nerve.
Woman, the woman being blamed for the sins of the man.
Oh, you know what, though? We're living in such crazy times. It might work.
It might fly. And then the prosecution is really, she's really seen as a proxy for Jeffrey because we can't get to Jeffrey.
I mean, that is true. Like, I think we're pinning this whole thing on Ghislaine when she's definitely responsible, but not as responsible as a person who actually did it.
Right, and she's all we have left. She's our only shot.
But that's just too bad justice. For Ghislaine. It's too fucking bad.
Right, so that's where they're coming from, prosecution and defense. And then yesterday, we heard from one of the pilots of the Lolita Express who was testifying as to what he saw in the years that he worked on the plane, saying it was more personal than business.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so interesting. I mean, I have to say, I'm worried because it's not a terrible defense. Like, it is when you think about it. Like, now we're all Ghislaine, Ghislaine, Ghislaine. When we were, a year ago, all Jeffrey, Jeffrey, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
But Jeffrey's not around, so we have to be Ghislaine, Ghislaine, Ghislaine.
Yeah, we're like projecting all of our Jeffrey stuff onto Ghislaine. And
I'm not sorry about it, don't get me wrong, But in the court of law, like, it might
hold up, you're saying?
Not hold up, but I do think it might get her, like, a lesser sentence. I also want to know,
especially when, you know, there are a lot of people invested in protecting right. what's to come out.
So that was my other question was, did she strike any sort of deal? I had heard, like, a while ago, people said she was going to, like, sing for her supper, you know, rat everyone out just to get herself immunity. But it seems like maybe she didn't do that because she's, like, fully on trial now.
Well, maybe she will share those things.
Got it.
And maybe that's why it's not being live streamed and why it's a closed court situation.
I am so sus about this whole thing. Like, I am questioning everything.
Yeah. No.
I hate to be, like, such a conspiracy theorist.
No.
But if there's ever a time to put on your, you know, conspiracy helmet, this is it.
When there are just so many lies that are just thrown around and we're meant to believe them when it's just so obvious, it's impossible to not look for other answers.
No, and like I feel like that Netflix documentary opened up a tiny, tiny bit of like who the powerful people were. Like that, what's that guy's name that was in the documentary? The Victoria's Secret guy, his name starts with an L.
It's like a girly name.
I was going to say, it's a woman's name. Yeah.
Leslie.
Yeah, like, let's follow up on that, you know?
Follow up on that girly girl.
Right, we opened it up on the Netflix
Leslie
doc.
Leslie Wexler.
Yes. Wow, very good memory.
I don't even want to say it.
I was also going to say Les Moonves, but that's the guy from CBS. But he's also problematic.
Also problematic.
See, all I'm saying is, like, we should know this. Like, we are pop culture experts, but nobody's talking about it. And they're just brushing it aside. Like, okay, fuck Ghislaine for sure. But, like, fuck all the other guys. Like, Ghislaine... What's the word I'm looking for? Like, set up the interactions.
Okay.
But these disgusting old men, like, committed the crimes as well.
Yeah.
Worse than Ghislaine. Yeah, worse than Ghislaine. Like, so I would like some accountability on the Leslies of the world.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if that's happening, so.
It seems like it's not. It seems like this case is fading into irrelevancy faster than I am.
100%.
And that's really fast.
Yeah, no, that's really fast. And we're going to do our best to stay abreast and keep you abreast because someone's got to do it. So
We should do a Ghislaine update daily.
Yeah,
daily.
Yeah, a lot of people have been sending me stuff. Please keep sending.
It to your friends and family too. Stir the pot.
Yeah, we need it. Like,
this has to be a boots on the ground, like, grassroots movement, like the Free Britney movement.
No, and it can be done. Also, the Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself movement. Like, how many times are they going to tell us that he did?
No, if you, like, posted a meme in the last 2 years, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Like, it is also your responsibility to keep your friends, family, and peers abreast on the Ghislaine Maxwell of it all. Okay?
Yeah.
We will not stop until justice is served.
Yeah, order. But even yesterday there was some, like, jury stuff happening, and what I thought was so interesting is that one juror was excused over a vacation that they couldn't reschedule, that it was a surprise trip from the panelist's spouse.
Okay, I mean, like, that's possible, no?
Or someone's buying someone a trip and to take them off the panel.
Well, here's the thing, like, does Ghislaine have any money? Because what I remember from the Netflix documentary was that, like, she said her father was, like, a really rich printing magnate. Like, he was, but then he, like, went broke, and she was, like, living off of Jeffrey. So I don't know if she has tons of money to spend on lavish gifts for jurors.
No, but if she's going to protect certain people, then they will be paying for lavish gifts.
So if you bribe a juror, does the juror get in trouble, too?
I would think so. They're or under, just, like...
Right. It's so unethical.
Yeah. Whatever, we'll
see.
If
you were a juror, you think you could be bribed? I definitely could.
No. If I'm in that box, justice must be served.
Yeah, I guess, like, I joke, but, like, if I was handling a serious case, nothing could stop me from keeping...
When you're in that jury box, and, like, after days of jury selection where they're asking you so many questions and you really have to, like, look inward and, like, decide, like, how you actually feel about it, you take it so fucking seriously.
Can I tell you that if I was on trial and we weren't sisters, obviously, I would very much want for you to be my juror. I think you're very... headstrong and very reasonable and very rational and, like, logical. I think you would make a great juror, perhaps a rural juror as well.
Thank you so much. Right now I would be an urban juror.
Yeah.
But if I were to ever move, I could be a rural juror.
And I just hope that whatever happens in this lifetime, I never end up on a jury. Because, like, well, you know, when you get in that room.
No, you're so wishy-washy.
Yeah, no. So we get in the room and everyone's telling their sides and, like, someone's siding, like, I think he did it because X, Y. I'm like, totally. But then someone else is like, no, I don't think this man did it because X, Y, and Z. And then I'm like, you know what? You sound like you're onto something.
It's like, have you ever read...
I'm spineless.
Have you ever read or seen 12 Angry Men?
No, but I saw 12 Angry Men inside Amy Schumer.
Got it. Well, it's the premise is like a jury, and the case really seems like signed, sealed, delivered. They're just, you know, going through the motions of jury things. Mm-hmm. This is me remembering it from like 15 years ago, but this is what I glean. And there's one juror who's like the contrarian and is like, let's just play out if it wasn't this guy.
And he obviously ends up being right. And spoiler alert. For the end of the
there's
book.
Major issues and, you know, 12. I don't know why they're 12 angry men.
Because being a juror sounds like torture.
Yeah, no. And
you can't
like,
go to work, can't see your family.
There's not great lunch options around.
And if you're in like a high-profile jury case, like this is what I remember from watching OJ, like the jurors are tortured. Like they have to stay in a hotel. They have to eat their meals together. They can't have like books, magazines, can't watch TV. They literally just stare at the wall while they're not in the jury.
No, and they're also tortured by the media.
Yeah, and but then also afterwards, like they all get book deals. So like it's a give and take.
Yeah, no, it's a tough spot to be in. And speaking of some more legal news, Jussie Smollett's...
Who?
Jussie Smollett's trial started yesterday, and his lawyers claiming he was a real victim during opening statements.
The amount that I, like, despise this man is unparalleled. Like...
It's interesting. You know what's so, what I didn't think about? It's like when you go to a trial, it's like everybody has to come up with, like, their story.
Yeah, a defense.
Like, yeah, and I never thought that his defense would be...
It
no,
still
it really
happened.
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, that's what he's saying, that he was a victim of a crime. Prosecutors said that he staged a hate crime during the opening arguments of the trial in Chicago, and he is saying, no, I didn't, like, I was actually
Oh, I didn't realize he was still, like, he's doubling down.
He's doubling down. Yes, exactly.
I guess that's an interesting legal route to take, but I just think, we were just talking about this, because right before this article, the last time Moosey was in the news... was he, like, hit a red carpet. He was his first red carpet appearance post, you know, faking a hate crime. And we were...
Allegedly.
And you were like, I mean, who was inviting him to red carpets? And I just thought it was so funny because I need you guys to go look up this red carpet picture. It's not like a red carpet, like, at a fancy gala. It's a full red carpet, like, in the middle of the street. Like, it's not... anything's a red carpet if you make it one.
Yeah, no, if you have a little spray paint.
Right, like, it's just not what you think it is. So... At first, I saw that news article, and I was like, he's seriously out and about working? Like, this man wasted police resources, committed a hate crime. Faked a hate crime. I'm like, we are really out here, like, putting him on red carpets again? But then I saw the picture, and I was like, oh, no, we're fine.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's what you told me. But the headline was, like, Jussie's hitting the red carpet, and I was like, what?
No, it was shocking. If, you know what? You know what's so, like, this is a bad thing for Jussie, because... It's, like, so embarrassing. Like, you just got caught lying, you know? I don't think there's anything that's, like, mortifying.
Yeah. Well, his defense attorney is saying that the real crime was committed against the actor by the two brothers from Nigeria who he had met on the set of Empire, who attacked him because they, quote, did not like him as a person. So remember when we were reporting the story as it unfolded and it was like there was the check that he wrote them?
Yeah, of course, like literally plain as day, just like the check here. And in the memo, it was like for the staged hate crime.
But now he's saying it was real, like they really
So why did
it.
He pay them?
That's what, you know, the courts will have to... Suss out.
I just can't. I mean, this is so obviously like not a real crime that he committed. And honestly, the fact that he's doubling down is just... It's just like offensive to people who are actually victims of hate crimes. Like it happens all the time, every day. And now you're out here like making a mockery of the justice system. And it ain't cool.
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on that one as well.
Was such a crazy time. Do you ever think about that?
It was a crazy roller coaster of emotions.
Because when it happened, it was like so horrible. Like imagine that actually happening. Like they threw a noose around his neck, allegedly poured bleach on him. A horrible, horrible, horrible hate crime. And I don't remember how it unfolded. Like who figured out?
Once the brothers were taken into custody, they were released after they told the police that Jussie had paid them to stage the attack because they snitched because they were unhappy with their salary. So it started to unfold like in the
very
legal
quickly.
Realm. Yeah.
Got it. So like then the police had like cause.
Yeah. And I think some things like weren't adding up.
Got it. Okay. That was just I'll never forget where I was when I was like found out that was not real, you know?
I don't remember where I was.
Me neither, but I remember talking about it on the toast.
But you'll never forget.
The moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The feeling.
The feeling of being like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Shocked.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, are you ready for our next story?
If it's a story that's brought to you by Jenny Kane.
Yes, it is.
When it comes to getting dressed, Jenni Kayne believes in the one thing, the art of simplicity. With a focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design, Jenni Kayne makes pieces that truly never go out of style. Curated, stylish staples that work with everything in your closet, the simplest way to look put together in an instant. They offer elevated basics that focus on comfort without sacrificing style. You might already have a favorite sweater or pair of shoes, but if it doesn't make you say, I'll never take it off, then this is not Jenni Kayne. Okay, I have a bunch of Jenni Kayne products, but I think by far my favorite is the cardigans that I have. Mm-hmm. It's so true. Like, during the winter, how many sweaters can you have? You want to invest in good ones, and you can style them differently, but Jenni Kayne just makes great, simple basics that you can wear a bunch of different ways, a bunch of different times. No one's going to realize you're wearing the same sweater, you know? And it's always better, like, with sweaters, I believe, to invest in good ones. They're not itchy. You can take care of them. And it's just a good piece to have. And you'll have it winter after winter. Yes, it's not like you have to buy.
Season after season.
You don't have to buy a new sweater every year, every time it gets cold. So Jenni Kayne is a great place if you want to start investing in good winter pieces. They offer so many different things. The cocoon cardigan, crew neck, and now they offer it in a crop style, is one of the best-selling sweaters they have. And it's a perfect thing for a holiday wish list. They also have a mock clog and shearling lined mule, which is the perfect shearling shoes, which are super in style now. You can stay warm and stylish with a touch of suede and shearling. Find your forever pieces at JenniKayne.com and get 15% off your first order when you use code TOAST at checkout. That's JenniKayne.com, promo code TOAST. That's a good promo code. Great for gifts, and don't miss out because
great for gifts.
It's a substantial percentage.
Okay, our next story is a little more crime news.
Wow, we're just feeling quite judicial today.
Or just, it's very criminal out here.
Totally.
Bradley Cooper recalls being held up at knife point on the subway in New York City. Mm-hmm. Bradley Cooper revealed that he was held up at knife point on a New York City subway en route to pick up his daughter in 2019. Damn. He was on Dax Shepard's podcast, Armchair Expert, and he said, quote, I used to walk around New York City all the time with these headphones on. This was pre-pandemic. I was on the subway at 11:45 to pick up Leah, his daughter, downtown at Russian school, and I got held up at knife point. He said, Jeez. It was pretty insane. I realized I had gotten way, way too comfortable in the city.
Yeah.
He said, my guard was down. I was all the way at the end of the subway. Innately, I would just go all the way down to the end. I felt somebody coming up. I thought, oh, they want to take a photo or something. As I turned, I'm up against the post like it's the French Connection or some shit. And I turned, I look down, and I see a knife. The actor described the weapon as a nice knife with some history behind it. And because he had his headphones in, he was listening to music when he was approached. He joked that the scary incident was scored. Like there was
funny
musical score behind it. He said, I can't remember what I was listening to. I look up, I see the person's eyes, and I'm taken by how young they are.
Yeah.
He said, despite being taught to never run if approached by someone with a weapon, the star instinctively bolted for the exit of the station. He said, I just started booking, just started running. I jumped over the turnstile, hit around the white tiled entrance to the subway and took my phone out. He jumped over running away. I took a photo of him, and then I chased him up the stairs. He started running up 7th Avenue. I took two more photos of him, and then he flagged down two police officers to show them photos of the culprit.
Imagine you're just a common criminal. You're on the subway doing your thing. And you roll up on some guy who's obviously not paying attention, like the perfect target.
Yeah.
And it's Bradley Cooper? How exciting.
I wonder if he ever had a moment, if he knows his work, if he had a moment of recognition.
I feel like no.
No.
You know what? I will never, and this might be like the most unpopular thing I've ever said, like I will never understand the richest people in the world who like still take the subway. Like if I was Bradley Cooper, I would be flown in a helicopter everywhere. Like that's the point of being a celebrity. Like you don't have to do things that other people have to do. Like I'll never understand that. Like Andy Cohen takes a subway to work, but you know what, actually when Andy Cohen takes a subway, I understand it. Like he does morning radio, it's like rush hour, and he's going from downtown to Sirius XM, which is like 60 blocks. That I actually understand because it is the most efficient way of getting around. But I don't know, if I was Bradley Cooper, I had to pick my daughter from school, I'm like, tally up the chauffeur.
Yeah, I'm like, Jeeves. Let's bring the car around.
No, literally, like, Julio, get the stretch. Like, I'll never understand that. Like, and that's me maybe just being like a materialistic fuck, but I don't see that. I don't agree with it. And I just think it's psychotic.
Yeah, well, he's definitely going to be more aware now.
Yeah, no, that's a thing now. Like, you cannot wear your headphones on the subway.
No, and just like
one, because someone might steal the headphones right off your head.
Right.
But also because like you got to be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah. No, you can't just like be in a bubble.
I think that the New York City bus routes are the most undervalued public transportation. They have amazing air conditioning. For the most part, they're pretty updated. There's just so much traffic. So like you're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, but they get all those lanes.
That's true. And
they get all those lanes.
if you think about the people who take buses, it's really the elderly because they can't really walk down steps to go to the subway. And it's just a really nice...
It's a nice crowd.
It's a nice crowd, a great way of getting around. And I just think more people should be taking the bus. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, but if you are going like...
Long distance.
In Mays.
Interborough. Brooklyn.
Cross town. Like, yeah. You know...
Good luck on the bus.
Good, yeah, diagonally.
Yeah, if you have nowhere to be, take the bus. It's just like a leisurely, like I used to take the bus on the way home from school in high school because like, who cares when you get home? You can't take the bus to school. You'll never get there.
No. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Rihanna has been named a national hero by Barbados.
That is so cute.
Quote, may you continue to shine like a diamond. Rihanna was honored by her home country during a ceremony to mark the Barbados splitting from the UK to become a republic. Yes, so yesterday Barbados was in the news as they have split from the
Queenie.
UK. Queenie is no longer head of state for Barbados.
So that means Queen Elizabeth is no longer Rihanna's queen.
I guess not.
Oh, that's crazy.
And now, and also, they named Rihanna as a national hero by the Prime Minister in Barbados in a ceremony marking the country split from the UK to become its own republic.
Love that for them. Get your independence, girl. But if I was a republic, I would want to be with the Queen. But that's just me, because I'm such an Anglophile.
Well, that's like kind of the... that's kind of a contradiction.
If you were a republic, I can't be a republic. Okay, if I was in... If you land.
If you establish your own country.
Yeah, I would want to be like...
A part of the United Kingdom.
I don't know. There's so much drama in the EU. Like Brexit. I don't know.
They Brexited.
Yeah.
So you might not have to associate with the EU.
No, I just mean they have all these things, you know, like Brexit, pounds. Like, I don't know. I think I would want to retain my independence as well. Belong to no man.
You are
know?
An independent queen.
That's what I'm saying.
And now so is Barbados.
Happy for them. Know that I am.
In a video of the ceremony shared by The Guardian, Rihanna walked up to...
These stories today are like so serious. Like crime, politics, republics.
Everything of the sort. She's wearing Bottega orange gown.
She's looking so good.
Looking incredible.
She... do you think she's ever going to make music ever again? I just feel like actually no. Would you? Like, you're making billions with your makeup that you're so passionate about. People can't get enough of it.
The only way that she would or should make music is if she has a song to sing, a song in her heart.
You can always tell when people release music because they, like, think it's time, not because they, like, had something to say.
Yeah. Like, Adele has something to say. She waited 6 years to have something to say.
I agree.
And some, like, so I think Rihanna will put out music when she has something that she can't keep in any longer.
I know. But, you know, in the time that we've... missed out on her music. She's been through breakups, makeups, like lots of things. I think she definitely has a Rolodex of emotions to sing about.
Perhaps. Or maybe she's going to channel it elsewhere into fashion and beauty.
Yeah, like I just want to say the running joke is always like, Rihanna, where's the album? I'm perfectly at peace with Rihanna, the businesswoman. Like, I actually don't need any more pop star Rihanna. Like, I love this growth for her.
I love that for you. I just want to let you know every time she comes up, you do ask about new music.
Well, that's just because I'm on the pulse of what's going on. And, like, that's the running joke. Everyone with Rihanna is like, new music, question mark. And I just want to say, like, I don't need new music from Rihanna because I love businessman queen Rihanna.
Yeah, and, like, national hero.
Queen of Barbados.
Yeah.
The Republic. So what was it before? A Democrat? No, like, before, if it wasn't a republic, it was just, like, a country?
Yeah, it was always a country, but it was part of... you know, the
European
UK.
Union. What's
no,
the word with
the
C?
European Union.
No, they talk about it in The Crown. The with a
the
C.
Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth. Do you think this is going to be like a trend?
Perhaps.
Does that mean, like, no, Queenie has got to make some drastic moves. She has to have Charles killed. I'm totally kidding. That was not a funny joke. But she's got to do something drastic. And Charles ain't the answer, is what I'm saying.
Right.
I think Charles, like, there's four nails in the coffin. Charles is the fifth, and that's the last one, you know? Mm-hmm. We gotta do something.
Okay.
Charles keeps me up at night.
Yeah, no.
I don't think I'm the only one. I think Queen is definitely kept up at night by 100%. Her moronic son, who just cannot stop stepping in shit, you know?
100%. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
It's the final story! Do-do-do-do-do! Ghislaine, you will rot in prison. Hopefully,
fingers crossed.
Okay, the fifth and final story is brought to you by Legacy Box, which is, first of all, the brand that people are always asking me, like, what's the one with the videotapes? Listen up. And it's a great gift for someone in your life. And it's the holiday season. So Legacy Box, of course, you know the service that couldn't be more easier, where you send in old home movies and photos and they will get to work creating a digital collection that Legacy Box will store on a thumb drive, a DVD, or the cloud. Plus, they're having a Cyber Week sale and you can have everything preserved at a fraction of the regular price. So Legacy Box is super professional. Each item that you send into them, whether it's old VCRs, photos, they are hand digitizing everything you send them. They have a team of over 200 trained technicians right in the USA. They've been an industry leader in professionally digitizing family memories for over a decade. It's easy. It's safe. They keep you informed the whole time. They have a barcoded online tracking system. You get 12 emailed updates along the way. It's just a pleasure to work with them. And do not miss out on their Cyber Week sale. So Legacy Box's Cyber Week sale is here. They are giving our listeners the best deal of the year. LegacyBox.com/toast for an incredible 65% off any sized Legacy Box. So that's LegacyBox.com/toast for 65% off. Do not wait. This deal will not last long. LegacyBox.com.
Okay, our fifth and final story. Finally, some mindless celeb news.
Slash toast.
Christine Quinn and Emma Hernan's Selling Sunset mystery man has been revealed. This is so interesting. Mm-hmm. If you watch Selling Sunset, Christine and Emma talk about this guy who they both dated 5 years ago. He seems like so irrelevant.
He seems like a myth.
And it seems like he just like fled the country and we couldn't ask him a question if we tried. Turns out his name is Peter Cornell and he works at the Oppenheim Group. He did work at the Oppenheim Group and he still works at the Oppenheim Group. He's the director of the sports and entertainment division of the Oppenheim Group. And I'm assuming he sits upstairs.
No, literally.
While they argue about him downstairs.
The fact that like, we now have all this information, yet I feel more confused than ever, is beyond bizarre. Why? Okay, the fact that this man works at the Oppenheim Group is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, bring him on the show.
Right. Like, he could have cleared up so much. Also, it's rumored and there's pictures that he and Emma, like, are still dating.
Yeah.
No, well, they're dating. They're together. She's not engaged. She didn't wear a ring. She said on the show that she's single. Yet, he proposed to her 2 months after the Christine thing. So, they were engaged. And then
so, it looks like Emma's lying, too.
It's the whole thing stinks.
Stupid.
It's so stupid. And I just cannot believe that this man has just been in earshot the entire time.
No,
when he
literally
could have cleared up so much stuff. Except I don't even want to hear from him because I know that he'll probably say that Christine is crazy.
Right, because he's
because she's
with
like
Emma.
And he's with Emma and Christine is like a crazy ex-girlfriend. Doesn't mean that she wasn't your ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I don't need to hear what he has to say, especially if he's dating Emma. And then even the part in Selling Sunset when Christine was like, I drove by his house and her car was in the driveway. Like, what?
Yeah,
there were
that was
so
weird.
Many, like, random fucking things.
Like, small little crumbs of weirdness.
Yeah, so
this guy's cute.
He is super cute. He's obviously a businessman, Bo.
Did you see the picture of him and Christine walking the red carpet at the Hot Tub Time Machine premiere?
I did see that picture. Did you see the picture of him and Chris Humphries in the street?
I did.
That's what
we
sent you.
We both follow Not Skinny But Not Fat.
No,
that's where I saw it.
I texted it to you.
Oh.
I said the ex and Chris
Oh,
Humphries.
You did send it to me. Oh.
Yeah, because I was Googling him.
I just
him.
Assume I see everything on Not Skinny But Not Fat.
No, I sent it to you.
Oh,
I
my God. Okay.
I found it on Google because I wanted to know more about this man. And I guess since he works in sports, like,
right.
That's the Chris Humphries connection. It's
what
just,
is the sports department at a real estate agency look like? Like, you work with athletes, but Chriselle was working with athletes.
Maybe, like, doing commercial real estate in the athletic
department
sphere.
Yeah, I don't know,
like gyms at schools.
Sure
Maybe, you know, he did the deal for crypto.com stadium.
Got it.
Stuff like that.
Well, I feel like with more information I've never felt more confused.
Yeah, this was really shocking, and it just goes to show how even more fraudulent this season was. Like,
yeah.
I thought this man, you know, probably didn't even have social media, didn't have a phone.
Jetted off to Geneva.
He lived
Genovia.
In a van by the sea, and he was unreachable.
No, he's upstairs.
He's upstairs listening to the girls talking about him.
Insane.
Insane.
Also, I really feel that the Oppenheim Group needs a new office. That was like a
they're running out of desks.
They're running out of desks. They don't have like a conference room, and like they have their team meetings. Everyone's like flying off the couch, and you're selling millions and millions of dollars of homes, allegedly. Get an office. Get a conference room. Get a place with enough desks for everyone.
Yeah, but it's like, I would say 360 days out of the year, those women don't show up. And in those days,
obviously,
the office suffices.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So those were the Fast Five.
Feel as though you needed to know them.
Definitely. We have Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment. So if you ever want to write in to Dear Toasters, it's deartoasters@gmail.com. We will keep your name anonymous. You can write in about anything. If you need some advice from your two favorite gals who seem to have their heads on relatively straight.
Perhaps.
First up. Ooh, my throat hurts from talking last night, from screaming. Hi, Jackie and Claudia. I'm a relatively new toaster, and I love you both so much. My best friend came home hysterical last week because her boyfriend thought he had a UTI. He told her his symptoms, and they also happened to be the same symptoms as chlamydia. She starts freaking out because she thinks somehow she could have gave it to him, so she went to get an STD test. Meanwhile, he wasn't concerned it was an STD, so he didn't get tested. Weird, because he was the one with the symptoms anyway. She gets a call from the guy now today and was positive for chlamydia. Side note, they've been dating since January 2021 and she has not cheated on him. She also got an STD test in March in 2021 and it was negative. She told him she tested positive and he turns it around on her and is trying to gaslight her, saying he's never gotten an STD test and it could have been dormant from a previous relationship. Let me remind you, she tested negative in March and they started dating in January and had unprotected sex for 3 months, so it would have shown up positive regardless of that first initial test back in March, so his claim of it being dormant is invalid. He keeps gaslighting her and trying to make her think it was her, but all facts lead to him cheating on her. She's convincing herself he didn't cheat and it couldn't have been her, when it literally is impossible for it to be her because she didn't cheat. Anyways, I'm literally so fucking frustrated because she's saying she doesn't care and isn't going to break up with him as long as the STD is gone, which will be in like 2 days because she gets medicine. Mm-hmm. But girl, he literally cheated on you and got caught red-handed. What the fuck? I need advice because I literally can't wrap my head around the fact that she still wants to be with him and I refuse to be around this man and he always is at our apartment. I also refuse to go to their wedding if they ever get to that point. She wants me to be maid of honor. Is it wrong that I'm so fucking annoyed and frustrated with my best friend? Help.
No, I would be so frustrated. Two things here. One, if you want to try your hand at making her see the light, like, a doctor can tell you, you know, does chlamydia lay dormant? No, I don't. And I'm not a doctor, by the way, but I'm pretty sure it's not something that is dormant and then pops up. Like, if she didn't cheat, there's only one way she could. Like, I think a doctor needs to make it clear to her the timeline, yeah, the chain of events, and how this STD works. Two, there is a chance, if she's really being this headstrong about the fact that
she wants to
stay with him, there is a chance that she cheated on him.
Right.
And she doesn't want to tell you and is just going to let the whole thing go. I don't think that's it, but it's possible.
I agree. And also, at some point, like, you got to let, like, dumb bitches be dumb. Like, the facts have been very clearly explained to her. She's like living in an alternate universe and you've done what you can, but like, you're your own person, she's her own person, she's making a very bad decision, and sometimes you gotta let people learn shit the hard way, because if he cheated on her, he will obviously cheat on her again. Maybe she'll get an STD, maybe she won't, maybe it'll be worse than chlamydia. Is easily, I mean, obviously getting an STD is not ideal. Chlamydia is probably one of the better ones, you know. Mm-hmm. Get a medicine and it's over. So I just think you gotta let people make their own mistakes sometimes, and it sounds like you've done all you can. And she refuses to see anything other than her boyfriend, like, being a great man. Honestly, the possibility that she cheated on him sounds more and more likely.
Yeah, because that would be incredibly forgiving if she just doesn't even want to make it. Not even, like, she's going to take him back. Like, he didn't even go through the ringer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, there were no consequences for his actions.
Not one. None, not one.
None. Zero. 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 Done.
So that's really tough. I would understand distancing yourselves from someone who would make such poor decisions.
Because then that just, like, it affects other elements of their life. Like, they obviously have bad judgment.
You don't have to say, like, right now I won't be your maid of honor. Obviously, these two are still dating, and I don't think they're getting married anytime soon. Neither. It doesn't seem like they're in a rush. But, you know, just go with how you feel. You don't want to go to dinner with her tonight because you're not in the mood to see her, like,
be annoying.
Know, defend this man. Don't go to dinner. Like, you don't have to make such sweeping generalizations that, like, we're not gonna be friends anymore, right. We're not gonna be in your wedding. Just take it one day at a time for yourself.
Like, of course it's annoying to be around someone who's, like, being annoying and stupid, so don't be around them,
right? And then inevitably your relationship will change and you probably
won't be maid of honor.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Good morning, Jackie and Claudia. My friend introduced me to the toast a few years ago and I've never missed an episode since. Thank you both so much for being you. I've wanted to get back into gymnastics. Oh, a gymnast. You know, I used to do gymnastics with Paul Rudd. I wanted to get back into gymnastics over the last year, and I finally found a coach, a man, who's willing to take a 27-year-old who is new to gymnastics. I'm a dancer and a dance teacher, so I can do some things already, but definitely need a coach on helping with backflips, etc.
Good for you, girl.
My husband is irritated and asks a million questions when I go once a week. I can tell he's very jealous, and from what he said, he doesn't like the idea of someone touching me, spotting me when I do a flip.
Okay.
My husband even told me he can teach me gymnastics. But he has never taken gymnastics in his life. He said he would just YouTube the things. That's actually sweet. I'm torn. I really want my husband to be comfortable and happy with the situation. However, I've never done anything to make him not trust me, so I feel very torn. I'm willing willing to give it up for my husband, but also wanting to be better my gymnastics skills. Would love your advice. Sincerely, a toaster.
This is a really interesting predicament, and I guess it doesn't happen very often because most, even, you know, the most seasoned gymnasts, they do stop by 27.
Right.
So to pick up gymnastics at 27, and you're, you know, when you take gymnastics as a kid, you're not married.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, a contact sport.
I don't know. I just love that you're like in this season of your life trying new things, and it's like a fit. You're feeling good. You're feeling healthy. And I just don't feel like we should discourage that. Like, it's important to have hobbies. It's important to be passionate about things. And I think your husband like really needs to get over this. It's,
yeah.
Like, definitely it's weird. Like, they stick your hand, their hand like between your legs while you're like flipping. It's weird. But it's not nefarious until it is. But it's not nefarious.
Yeah.
But you might fall in love when he's like, you know, really getting in there.
And if it is nefarious, just the, you know, the spotting in general, then it's nefarious with the kids too.
Huh?
Like when any gymnastics coach is nefarious. Like at any age.
Yeah, but no, it's not nefarious right now.
You're saying, yeah. And also it's like people go have personal trainers and it's a contact situation.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah, you ever see a personal trainer like stretch a client afterwards? It's very inappropriate.
Right, and if your husband was like, you can't do that anymore, like that's a little...
Yeah, I think you got to sit your husband down and tell him to fuck off.
Yeah, and I like this for you. I love that you're trying new things. This is not something I've ever heard of, someone just wanting to get into gymnastics
later in life. No, I'm inspired.
I'm inspired too, and I do understand why your husband like might look at it. Maybe invite him to a class so he could see like we're really just spotting and trotting. I mean,
the fact that he said he would teach her like you're learning on YouTube is like so sweet. I don't think he has nefarious intentions.
I don't want to dismiss like how he's feeling, you know?
No, but you got to sit him down and be like, this is something I'm like having fun doing. Like, I need you to get off my ass.
But maybe it means he comes with you. And that way, like,
and then you both take up gymnastics.
He can be ensured that nothing nefarious is happening.
I like that. Mm-hmm. And then you're doing something together. It brings you closer.
Yeah.
Very good. That's good advice.
Okay.
But good luck. Don't give up the gymnast lifestyle.
Don't.
It's for you.
That's so cool.
All right. Third and final. Hello, ladies. OG Breather here. Never wavered. And my absolute love for you guys. Thank you. My best friend of over 12 years, Sarah, moved to New York City to be closer to me about 2 years ago. Naturally, I introduced her. Ooh, this sounds bad.
Yeah.
Naturally, I introduced her to a lot of my friends who I had made since moving here. We would go out a lot and then started... There started a pattern of her getting absolutely blackout, falling over, and sometimes getting us kicked out of bars. Someone writing this in about me. The next morning, she would show no remorse, which I found to be kind of weird. Like, where's your anxiety? I have no issue with occasionally blacking out, but it got to a point where my boyfriend's friends and coworkers didn't want me to bring her around because she was so chaotic and it was embarrassing. Because she's like a sister to me, I made a comment to her that blacking out was starting to be a lot. She then sent me a text the next day pretty much telling me everything she doesn't like about me. I'm too judgmental, and apparently I only care about myself. I only tried to patch things up, but she didn't want to be friends anymore. Shortly after that, I started to notice my girlfriends weren't reaching out to me, and I was seeing on social media that they were hanging out with Sarah. I didn't understand why and even tried reaching out, but received no response. Fast forward a year, I still see pictures sometimes of all my old friends and Sarah hanging out, and it makes me cry. I just think, wow, these people really didn't care about me at all, and the TikTok sound. Am I the villain? I've since made some new friends, but I'm so self-conscious about fucking it up or them deciding one day that they don't want to be friends with me anymore. You girls seem to be very sure of yourselves, so how do you not let those things bother you? How do I be myself around my new friends, but also make sure I'm a person worth keeping around? Sincerely, a sad, lonely toaster. P.S. Thank God for the toaster community, because that's how I made the new friends.
Oh.
Okay, I think that, like, you're just overthinking it a little bit. You know, like, for the most part, just be, like, if you really just be yourself, people will like you. But if you, like, are being very... like calculated almost about how you're coming off, people just might find you like annoying and calculated, you know?
Yeah, they might sniff that out. But here's my question. How come her old friends, just because she got into a tiff with Sarah, how come her old friends are no longer friends with her?
The way that I perceived it was like Sarah like co-opted the friendships.
Oh, I mean, if
and maybe
if,
poisoned.
If no offense, this blackout queen was able to co-opt your friendships, then they weren't strong to begin with.
So
also,
true.
If she really is that annoying, sloppy, and embarrassing, then like her true colors will show, and she's their problem now.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to wait, because at the end, like, it always, the truth always comes to light. People can't hide who they are.
It's
and
true.
And, you know, I don't think Sarah had this, like, come to Jesus moment where she realized that she was, like, a drunk embarrassment.
No.
Because she would have then taken your words a little better. So just let her do her thing. That will play itself out. In the meantime, focus on not only, like, you finding friends that like you, but you liking them too. And then it's natural. And then you can be yourself and you don't have to worry. Like,
that's true.
You don't just worry about everyone else liking you. Like, what do you want? What do you like? Who do you want to spend time with?
Wow, I really think that was very beautifully said. I don't really have anything to add.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I think for the most part, like, just relax.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah, plus you have your mans, yeah?
Did she say she had a man's? Yeah, boyfriend.
Yeah, she, and that's why, like, and he was embarrassed by Sarah.
By Sarah being an animal.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah, when, like, the boyfriends are saying something.
And the coworkers.
Because, like, men are animals. Like, they don't even notice anything.
100%.
Like, for me, I, like, judge everyone. Ben wouldn't know if somebody came and took a dump in the middle of the bar. Like, he's like, oh, last night was fun.
Yeah, I think there was a dump.
So, yeah, like, just be chill. And it'll come. Don't force it, you know?
Yeah, take the pressure off.
Okay, so those were the Dear Toasters, deartoasters@gmail.com if you ever want to write in. And if you've written in and we've read your prompt on air, give us an update. Let us know how things went. We would love, love, love to hear from you guys. Great. Now it is time for Portia Williams, which yes. I'm so thrilled about. And our segment with Portia Williams is brought to you by ShipStation. Figuring out the best way to ship your orders can be frustrating and confusing. ShipStation makes it quick, easy, and convenient. You can easily import orders from any sales channel. You can automate just about any shipping task, so you spend less time sorting through orders and more time doing what you do best. They also integrate all selling channels on ShipStation into one simple dashboard so you can seamlessly connect carriers, print shipping labels, and get products out the door. Over 100,000 sellers use ShipStation for their business, and they're working with all major carriers that give you exclusive discounts on UPS, USPS, and more. You can compare shipping carriers with the best solution for you and your customers. So with ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies without the contracts. It's never too early to start prepping the holiday rush, so get a head start with ShipStation. For our listeners, you can use code TOAST to get a 60-day trial just in time for the holidays. That's 2 months of stress-free holiday shipping for free. Go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top, and enter in TOAST. ShipStation. Make ship happen.
Great. Well, enjoy the interview. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we will see you tomorrow.
You know what we forgot to do yesterday?
I know.
An emoji.
We were in such a rush.
No, and we had like so much shit to do yesterday.
I think the gavel to signify all the justice that could or cannot be served in the next few weeks.
I completely, completely, completely agree. Gavel on our most recent Instagram if you made it to the end of this episode. And enjoy Portia. She's a gem. Check out her book. She's also doing a book signing at Barnes & Noble on Fifth Avenue tonight. So if you're in the city and you want to meet Portia, she was really a gem. And like, she takes fire pictures. So check it out. Enjoy the interview. And we'll see you guys tomorrow for Hump Day. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. I'm so excited because someone I love, someone I admire, and someone who I've been following forever is finally on the show. Miss Portia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I have so much to ask you, but I just want to tell you first and foremost, like, I come on here week after week, daily, day after day, and I defend you. Like, I am such a stan, and I just love you, and I want to thank you. My first question, actually, is I really want to know how your back is.
My back? Why? What?
Well, it must be in deep, deep pain from putting the franchise on it for so many years. How is it doing? Girl. How are you doing?
It's healing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. It was for a long time.
Well, thank you. I really do appreciate that. Especially, you know, after 10 years after being in, I'm glad you feel like I held my own.
You definitely did. And the show will not be the same without you.
I want to hear that too. Yeah. No one wants to like leave a job and then it's like, it gets better. Who was that girl? Wow, thank you. Miss me. Please miss me.
This is a crazy time for you. It's like a transitional period. Yeah. Obviously, you're off Real Housewives of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people were really surprised by that.
Yeah.
But then the announcement that you got your own show, which is obviously like the dream.
Yes.
Was not surprising to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it wasn't.
I watched it last night. I loved it. I thought it was great. I think you're just such a natural. And I love your family. Like, I really love your relationship with your sister. I host my show with my sister. It's just the best. And I think what I really loved about the show was, like, you really brought your whole family in. Mm-hmm. But I think a natural question is, like, do you ever want to kill them? Like, you really spend so much time with them. I do, too. People ask me that all the time.
Well, are they family if you don't?
That's true. That's true.
I think that's what makes you family. You want to kill them and you don't. And, like, you just love them forever. And I think that, you know, the way we love each other, and if you're honest with each other, then you're going to have some of those crazy moments.
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
Are they super comfortable filming the show? They like it?
They weren't at first.
Really?
Yeah. I actually told Andy last night that we had filmed a little luncheon, or I think it was a dinner. I can't remember. And, you know, I know my family, all right? And I know that's why we got the show. I was like, okay, everybody's got all these personalities. But in this particular get-together, everybody was like, for TV, like.
Yeah.
And I told them afterwards, I called them individually. I was like, listen, you know, this is my world, but you're now in it.
Yeah.
And the way I want this show to be is raw and authentic. So whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, this is our reality as a family. So feel safe to be yourself in front of these cameras. And I don't know why I did that. because the rest of the show was lit. I was like, reel it in.
They're not holding back at all.
They're not. They're not. But that's family, and that's the beauty of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Is that it can get a little bit crazy. Mm-hmm. But the goal at the end of the day is love and to be blended properly.
Of course, and I think that, like, that was the takeaway for me. I thought the show was so great. I loved the family aspect. I love this, like, new season of your life. Like, you're just, like, in the best place probably ever that you've been, like, and I think we'll talk about a lot about your book, but that's kind of the culmination of this whole thing. It's like finally being able to tell your story.
Yes.
You're now not on an ensemble show. It's your show, and you really feel, do you feel like this is now a time of, we know you for a long time, you've been on TV, but do you feel like now you can really get to know the audience on, like, a deeper level?
Thank you for mentioning my book. So this is actually such a beautiful moment that I feel like was supposed to happen like this.
Yeah.
At this moment, my book being released, The Pursuit of Portia, that is filled with my family because they make you who you are. I don't care what you say.
I agree.
If you're as close with your family as I am, they have been my strength through so many different things, and it's all in the book, and now you get to meet them on the show.
That's true,
it's like, it's crazy. It's like, it is very revealing, a totally different side of me that I know fans haven't seen on Housewives, because you get to see my family, but you don't get to see it like this.
No, and let's talk about the book. So the book just came out. It's called The Pursuit of Portia. I have a lot of questions. The first question is, you get really kind of, like, deep in the book. You talk about eating disorders, spousal rape. I'm curious if you were hesitant at all to put some of those darker things in, because it can be really scary to open up about. You're always fun and you're always light, but when it gets kind of heavy, it's a lot to open up to people like that.
So, me being celebrity, you know, one of the things that comes with that is I think that different people in the spotlight, they check things off the list. So, boom, you're on TV, you're famous, get a perfume, you know, sell something and do a book. So, for me, when it came to doing a book, I did not want to do one because I knew that when I did it, it had to be completely honest.
Yeah.
So, it took me some time to get to the place to where it was, I wanted to share these different things, but I knew it had to be purposeful. So right around the pandemic, you know, everybody's doing self-reflection, and you just kind of take an account of your life and what's important to you and where you've been and where you have gotten to. And I just felt so blessed to be free at this moment that I wanted to share my testimony. And so when it came to writing the book, it was really difficult because I knew in order to do that, I had to revisit a lot of dark moments that I have never, ever even spoke about to anyone.
Out loud,
actually.
Yeah.
And a lot, some of those things in the book, I hadn't even talked to my mom about.
Oh, and did you speak to her before you released the book?
So when I was beginning to write the book, I had a talk with my mom and let her know. I touched on some of the things I wanted to talk about to just, I don't know, get her approval to be that open. I mean, I've been on TV for 10 years, but of course, I'm 40 years old. And so I've had a lot of life that I lived prior to the camera. And even when the cameras were off and I was still on the show, there's a lot that happened that wasn't known. So, but she told me, you know what, at the end of the day, I know you're doing it because you want to help inspire someone else through their tough times. So she said, feel free to do it. And so I was open.
So what I thought was interesting is you have a note from the author before the book starts. It says, to protect the privacy of my loved ones and other people whom I've met and would rather forget, some names have been changed, others have been erased, which I thought was really powerful. And I've seen people put, you know, notes like that at the beginning of their book. I just thought the way you worded it was really well done. And
I'm curious
if you've heard from anyone that you wrote about in the book that either was in a positive way or a negative way, if they've reached out to you.
So first of all, in the book, there are people who I don't name, right? And then there's people who I mention, and of course, I'd rather forget them. But I also did name a couple people in the book, you know? And it was all about me telling my side. And when you read the book, because it starts from childhood, and you are really, truly on a journey in the book to really see the patterns in my life and how I made some bad choices, fell in some bad situations, business, relationship, I wanted to stay as close to being honest as I could. And legally, some names weren't in there. And then some were in there, and we don't know what may happen legally.
Yeah.
But I just felt that I needed to do that in order for the book to be completely about me now being a powerful, feeling powerful, and feeling like I'm walking in my purpose.
You know what I thought was really interesting on your episode last night was what an emphasis you put on social media and how it can get really bother mm-hmm. you and how, like, the people's reactions to your relationship or just any part of your life, like, it does eat away at you. You're a human being. Yeah. And I'm curious if you've had any struggles with that with the book, because you're opening up so much in the book. And does it concern you at all thinking what your fans might think?
Here's the thing. I am so excited for people to actually read the book. So at this moment, you're getting snippets, headlines from the book. I'm most excited for people to read it in its entirety. Mm-hmm. So you can get the full story and you can understand it a little bit better. So in this moment where it's kind of like just lines out there, it's a little like, it could be misunderstood. The point of the book is for me to be understood.
Got it.
So that you can get the point of the book. Mm-hmm. So I think within doing this tour, I'm going to really be more comfortable with talking to certain things in the book, speaking to different things in the book.
You're at Barnes & Noble today, right?
Yes.
So everyone should know to come see you. You're at the Barnes & Noble on Fifth Avenue tonight,
yes,
right?
Yes, today.
So. Very cool, mm-hmm. very cool. Okay, I mean, I imagine when you are a Real Housewife, the dream is obviously to get your own show. And it's one that very few housewives, you know, Karen Huger from Potomac just got one. It's a real honor. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, one, how it feels, and two, if you've gotten any words of wisdom from Kim Zolciak. She did it as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. A long run, mm-hmm. too. You know, I had a taste of it because I did Porsha's baby special. Mm-hmm. Porsha's having a baby. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And so I did that. So I had a taste of it, but it wasn't like this one.
Yeah.
This one involved all of my family. And I didn't get any advice from Kim. I would say the biggest thing for me was just to go into it and just be real.
Yeah.
You know, over the years, I started the show Housewives when I was 30 years old up until now. The cameras don't exist. What you see is just me.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I believe that.
Yeah. And so that's the same thing I went into this family show with.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it any other way, especially because this show is about the truth.
Yeah.
The show is about honesty. It's not about perfection.
No.
Hello, public. The show is not about me being perfect, being seen perfect. It is what it is. That's probably what the show should have been called. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I'm just saying, you know, because I saw some people that were like, I don't think the show is showing her in the best light. Well, who is if you really put a camera and a magnifying glass on them?
Yeah.
But this is my true journey, and there is a lot of beautiful moments within some of the craziness.
No, it's really good. I love it. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
My final question for you is, last night was a really big night on Bravo. I know you were on Watch Happens Live. I did watch. But also Nicki Minaj was on The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh, my gosh.
And I want to know what your thoughts on that were. And then I also want to know, you did many a reunion. Mm-hmm. If you could have had any celebrity who, like, loved the show come on and do a reunion, who would you have wanted?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I didn't even know that Nicki was as big of a super fan as she is. Mm-hmm. But I think after all of us seeing her host, you know for a fact she's the president of the
fan club.
Oh, my God. She knew so many details that it was like, oh, my God, my people.
No, I know.
We are the Real Housewives tribe.
Yeah.
I'm a part of the fan club as much as I'm on the show, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. So she was asking questions that I knew that had been burning.
Yeah.
I could see her at home yelling at the TV just
the Michael
like
Darby
us.
Stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She got very detailed.
She did. I was really surprised.
And she wasn't letting up on anything.
On anyone.
And I like how if she was grilling one person, she was telling the next one, can you hush and let me finish?
Yeah, I thought it was fair. I thought she was fair.
I'm gonna get there, girl. Like, don't walk me too fast in my questioning. So I thought she absolutely killed it. Okay, so for a celebrity host to host the reunion,
I mean,
Lord,
it has been said that Beyonce.
Oh, I was just about, girl, you just read my mind. I was about to say, Beyonce and Solange do watch The Housewives, and I want to feel like Michelle Obama be watching
for sure. She would be very good at reunion. Like, she's very diplomatic.
Can you imagine her asking you something? How dare you sideswipe or lie to Michelle Obama?
You know what's so crazy? Your show is so big. I actually could see it. I know that sounds crazy, but like, especially now with Nicki, like,
yeah.
I actually really could see a world in which there's like a panel, Beyonce, Solange, and Michelle.
I could, and let me tell you why. Because who doesn't want to see the former first lady just dive into her guilty pleasure?
No, totally.
Like, we want to know that you love all of this drama.
No, and it's not even guilty. You know, I hate when people say that. I'm proud, like, that I watch Housewives. I don't like the word guilty pleasure because it adds a negative stigma, and I think the show is great.
Let me take that from you. It doesn't have to be a negative. Guilty pleasure is... you could be going through your own shit. Do you curse on your show?
Yeah, please.
You could be going through your own shit alone. And then, of course, you can see other people go through theirs.
That's true.
I mean, what's wrong with that? It's nothing wrong with that.
You know, I did have another question for you, because on last night's episode, you were going through like a house search.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel, as a fan, very attached to your house. The one with the big columns, mm-hmm. because it's obviously like this wonderful place for you, like a paradise almost. That's where you brought PJ home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just where you were able to start over and you like did it on your own. And I think all like the women watching were like, yes, get that house.
Yeah.
What is your current living situation? Do you still have that house?
I'm glad you feel that way, because so did I. I could not give it up. I am keeping it.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I'm actually going to give it to my mom. So, it's going to be a family home. I same reason you said. You know, when I bought that home, remember I was picking the rooms for the babies?
Yep.
And Pilar ended up in the little girl's room.
That's crazy.
I just simply took the name off the wall. So, you know, I definitely am creating new memories with my family, but I definitely I had to hold on to it.
No, I'm so glad.
I
didn't expect to watch and feel so sad. Like, I just thought that house was like a beacon of hope for all of us.
You'll still see it. Good. You'll still see it. If I'm on TV, we'll be filming there, including in my new home.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, we just closed. So,
Oh, so you found a house.
Yes.
The Blended Fam.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever watched the movie Blended?
No.
Okay, so my sister Jackie, she's pregnant right now. It is her favorite movie, and it's about a family that blends, obviously. Uh-huh. And she says that every single family who's about to become a blended family should watch a movie.
Okay, I'm going to watch
it. It's kid-friendly. It's really good. You should watch it.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Congratulations on the book. Congratulations on your engagement, the show. It's the season of Portia, and we're just so excited that you are here. Thank you for stopping by. And you guys, make sure to get the book available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And if you're in the city tonight, she's going to be at Barnes & Noble Tuesday.
Fifth Avenue. I want to see you guys. I want to talk to you guys and sign some books. So, yeah.
Thank you so much, Portia. Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.